everyone. Welcome to the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin. And tonight, we're going to talk to Sean Johnson in Fredericks, Wisconsin. And Sean has quite a story to tell. In fact, Sean, welcome to the show. Fredericks, Wisconsin seems like it's almost something out of Stepford Wives. Lots of people there have been impacted by UFOs, it seems, and extraterrestrials, maybe.
Yeah, I would say so. It's kind of like the town is, to me, when we first moved here, I told my wife, it's like this whole town's been zapped. You know, nobody wants to talk about nothing. Nobody wants to, you mention anything, and you get the same answer all the time. Like, the Northern Lights.
Yeah, so there are lights that you see regularly, and everybody else sees them as well.
Oh, well, nobody looks. That's the same answer I get from everyone here is, I either hear Northern Lights, or, well, I used to look, but I don't look anymore.
They just don't,
No, why don't you look? You know,
it's kind of interesting that reaction occurs quite a lot. I've been doing these shows for several decades now, and I guess it's a denial thing. Did you go through that?
Myself, no. There was a point, my wife and I, we sat down and said, is this really going on? And then, it was so vivid that, the first incident that happened, it was like, come on,
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about that first incident?
I should really start out what happened. We lived the summer before, we moved from Minnesota out here, and I have some property I keep saying 30 miles north here. It's actually 20 miles north about,
yes.
And then you go out east a little ways, about, 10, 15 miles. And I went to the bar one night to get a couple pizzas for the family, and it's just a couple miles down the road. And on the way back, I noticed this goofy light. It was just like a white ball of light it was zigzagging and jumping around. It would go down in the trees, and I thought, first thing I thought was helicopter with a spotlight. And I thought, no, come on, this thing's going right down into the trees, and it's coming back up, and it's moving way too quick. And so I pulled into this little gravel pit and turned off my lights. I sat and watched for, 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes. And I thought, man, that is really some strange-looking thing. So I zipped home real quick via the next mile, and I hollered on to my wife. What had happened, we ended up living with my mother through the winter because of property issues. Some property we were selling didn't work out. Anyhow, I hollered down this basement. I hollered, bring the cameras up. Let's get some, there's something out here. So we tried the video, and she was watching. She said, man, that's spooky. And on the videotape, it turned out just a little dot. It was pretty hard with it, pretty crappy camera. Anyhow, we sat and watched it for a long time, and then we didn't see it anymore. Well, we moved down here, and then last July, end of July, beginning of August, I was outside working on the deck, and I kept noticing off to the south of me here, some light looked just about like that, but around the edges it was flashing blue, red, and green, real erratic, and it looked like it was actually moving around. So we saw that a couple nights, and finally one night I was out there sitting on the deck after working on the house again, and having a beer, and I say, hey, it looks like that thing is actually shining at me. I said, well, go grab that spotlight. So I got one of them million candle power jobs, and I pointed it up there and flick, 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 and it flicked back, same type of pattern.
Wow.
And I thought, whoa, and I could tell it wasn't an airplane, and it wasn't a helicopter. And, because I know a lot of people are getting in trouble for that stuff now.
Yeah,
And, after my first interview on this stuff, I felt kind of responsible for what I did next was I came in the house, I got my daughter's red laser pointer, and I pointed on the trees across the highway, and I kind of lifted up to where I thought that thing was, and blink, 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 and that thing turned from white to solid red and blinked me back the same pattern. And I was like, oh, come on now. And it started moving my direction. And I told the wife, okay, we're going in the house. Let's go. So we came in. And, you know, not really even that calm, but, you know, we came. I was like, do you believe this? Anyhow, we came in the house and kind of forgot about it. And about 1:30 in the morning, I got up to go to the little boy's room and went down the steps here, down to the main floor. And there's a picture window on the east side of my house that overlooks a pond. And here in that, there's a pond. It's in the notch in the trees, kind of. And in that little notch above the pond, here's this big ball of orange, what to me looked like kind of orangish red, like the sun. And it was wobbling, like a ball of jello. If you punched it, it was doing some wobbling stuff. And I hollered again, grab the cameras, there's something out here. So we went out on the deck. And she's snapping still pictures with her digital, and nothing showed up. I mean, it registered that it took pictures, but they're all black.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking through the viewfinder on the video camera, and nothing. You know, I'm looking in there, and it's black. I look up, and it's just bright orange. I look in there, nothing. I thought, come, what is going on? And all of a sudden, it was like I took a whiz on an electric fence.
Everything lit up, huh?
Well,
you got a shock.
It felt like a surge of power. And what I thought was this thing powered up or something. I got like a wave of power. And I'll tell you what, my feet were in the house before I was. And she was right behind me.
And no noise.
No noise. Totally silent. And I said, man, did you feel that? And she said, feel what? No, I didn't. She said, but did you see it? I said, see what? She said, they shot you with a red laser beam. And I said, a red laser beam? She said, yeah, they shot you with a beam of red light.
And you could feel it. It was like an electric shock.
Yep, it was like a shock of electricity. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I mean, we were just, you know, I was jittery and, you know, how to small, I was in shock. And we were terrified. So we ran upstairs here, kind of bunkered down, hid upstairs. When we were out on the deck, it was totally no wind, silent. And all of a sudden, I thought the roof of the house was going to come off. And this is a log home, and I thought the thing was going to fall over.
You're talking about there was some sort of force at that point.
Wind, it was just crazy. I mean, it was the house, you could actually feel the house shaking.
So it was still, definitely still, then all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
you had the air was being churned around.
Yes, and so I looked out the window in the front here in the front part of the house upstairs, and it's a 3-foot by 5-foot window. I looked out, and it was crazy. There was like 10 different, I want to say like orb balls of light hanging in this. I live in a valley, and the valley looked like Spielberg was shooting a movie out here. And I mean, the whole valley was lit up. And my motorhome, between the motorhome and my boat and stuff, from where the pond is, it looked like somebody was striking an arc welder. Blue, whitish blue, mm-hmm. the light shooting across the yard, and I mean, I was hysterical. I'm like,
was it somewhat like a brief interlude of light then gone, or was it pretty constant?
It went shoop, shoop, shoop. It was just mm-hmm. like shooting across it, like somebody kept striking the arc, you know, like a electrode.
Yeah, okay.
Kept raking it across the metal, and she's oh my God, you know, she couldn't believe it. Well, we basically quit looking, and. We had just moved in here not too. I mean, the house isn't even finished. And so we're in there with my daughter. She finally woke up. She's 11 years old. And we're on an air mattress with her, hanging on to each other, and terrified, just freaking out.
It's still no mechanical noises.
Just a Celtic up. Nothing. No noises at all. Just blasts of light, and this wind was just horrendous. And.
Did you look up in the air?
No, I was scared to look anymore. And my wife said, don't look, just don't look. We just huddled in the corner of this room up here. And finally it started to kind of mellow out, and I looked out again.
How long do you think this lasted?
Well, it went on from, like I say, we saw the ball of orange light at 1:30 in the morning, something like that. And at 4:30, I finally decided, you know, it kind of sounded like it mellowed out. And I said, I got to look. Just curiosity, you don't kill the cat. I had to look out the window. And I couldn't even speak. I just look.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife looked, and you could see this like a half ball, and it looked like bristles like a porcupine. And all these little bristles were lit up. And it was just as nice as you please, just kind of motoring away out of the valley. Off to the
you couldn't tell how big it was.
To me it looked like, oh boy, it was bigger than my motorhome.
Oh, so it was big.
Yeah, I got a 24-foot leprechaun out here, and it was bigger than
that. And your wife, I hear her in the background, she saw it too.
Oh, I said, you see that? She said, yeah. She's, what in the hell is that?
Mm-hmm. And I said, now, when you say it was lit up like a porcupine quills, were they all the same color?
They were all different colors. Just, you know, blues and reds and greens and white.
Was it kind of like a tumbling tumbleweed, or
yeah.
Was it?
Okay. There you go, like half of a tumbleweed.
Yeah.
And this thing is just, like I say, just nice as you please, just kind of floating out, you know, levitating out of the valley. And at the time that there were all of them hanging out here and all that wind was going on, I said, I'm going to call the town cop. I mean, we're new in town here, and I didn't want to call nobody because this town, you know, 1,000 people, I don't want to be known as the goofball up on the hill, you know. And I said, I'm going to call the town cop. Well, he went by here at about 100 miles an hour going out of town. I thought, what the heck? Siren going, flashing lights.
This is that morning.
Yep, right. As this is all going on.
Okay.
He went flying underneath all that stuff, and I obviously didn't see it. Or just saw it and was going where he was headed. Well, then I'm watching, and here come three cars. And three cars are going towards town. They drove right underneath all that stuff. Like I said, it looked like Spielberg was shooting a movie, and they drove under. Not one car hit the brake lights, didn't slow down, nothing. They just kept right on going. I said, don't they see that?
Did you talk to the constable?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't.
And you didn't hear where he was going that morning. I mean, he was still around the next day.
Oh, yeah. And then the next day, we had a power outage here in five communities. Five communities here were without power, and the message that you got when you called the power company was, yes, we know we were experiencing troubles. If you have any idea what it is, please call us and let us know.
Wow. What a message.
Yeah. Well, then we were waiting for our DSL and stuff to be hooked up here for the Internet. And the internet system was down, and they said, well, it usually takes, you know, 2 to 3 hours to figure out the problem, and it took them over a week.
So there was definitely some problems.
Something happened. And we still have no clue what that was all about. Well, then Monday came around, and our garbage didn't get picked up, so my wife called the garbage service, and the lady called. They've got 17 drivers on this system out here, and she hung up. She called my wife back. She says, I have 17 drivers. She says, I called every one of them on our private radios, and not one of them answered. She says, that's never happened. I'm a little worried.
I would be, too. What came of that?
I don't know. Finally, she called back, and she said, well, I finally got a hold of one of the drivers on his cell phone, and he's on his way out to pick up your garbage.
So there definitely was something up, unusual. So did you guys talk to somebody at all? I know you're new and you didn't want anybody to know
about it. I called Peter Davenport from the National Reporting Center deal, and I told him the deal. You know, I'll be the nut on the hill. He said, what do you expect me to do about it? I said, well, go get bent, and I hung up, you know. Yeah. So my wife called back. And he said, yeah, your husband sounds a little zany, you know, well, wouldn't you, you know, come on, don't they all sound a little zany and you're calling in a UFO report?
Yeah.
He says, well, you know, what do you expect me to do about it? She says, well, maybe have a little better bedside manner, you know.
Okay, so you tried to report it, you didn't get any satisfaction there.
So that kind of turned me off to even saying anything to anybody, so I kind of...
Well, now, but you have experienced fear and danger since then, so
oh, yeah.
We need to get into that too here in a little bit, but this was this past summer.
Right.
And things have not calmed down too much. In fact, in a conversation I have with you, you mentioned something, it wasn't quite clear to me. You blocked off your windows?
Yep.
What was
whatever their activities were, they knew I knew they were here, and they didn't want me seeing. Well, actually, like I explained to a few people, it feels like they're scolding a young child. You know, no, you reach for the cookie jar, and you're not supposed to, and, they, you know, they slap your hand a little bit and tell you no. You're not supposed to. That's the best way to explain it. I really don't feel fear for my life now. I just know they don't like it. They make things a little uncomfortable.
I wonder if they have an ability to know you're talking to me about it.
I think so, yes.
But this doesn't seem to have deterred you.
No, that's the kind of guy I am. I'm...
Yeah, you're kind of like me.
My lawyer told me at one point in my life, he said he was getting no satisfaction or, you know, getting any results in an issue, and I went after it, and I went into his office, handed him a whole huge folder, and he said, "What in the heck?" He said, "Man, you're like a pit bull." He's you're a tenacious man. He said, "Once you get a hold of something, you just don't let go." And I said, "Well, that's safe. You know, I know I'm right, and whatever." Well, it's the same way with this. Once something's stuck in my face, I'm going to find out what it is. You know, I'm...
Are we making any progress on finding out what it is?
I really am. I'm learning a lot of stuff. I've been in contact with a guy in Phoenix.
Rob Grotowski, probably.
Right. I've been in almost daily contact with him. Sam Maranto from Chicago. I talked to Brian.
Now he's the fellow that used to be at MUFON, or is he still?
He still is MUFON.
Okay.
He's thinking about going on his own and starting a nonprofit.
Uh huh.
Which is to do totally with what's going on with me. He said, "Man, you got some stuff going on." He said, "I'm ready to start researching with you."
Hey, that doesn't sound like somebody wouldn't have to. You know, I went down to Phoenix and went out to Rob's place, and we didn't have to wait around 20 minutes.
That's what I'm telling you. I mean, I can walk over the window right now and see something.
Well, I'm going to wait till it warms up before I show up in Wisconsin. If it's all right with you.
Right.
Speaking of that, does cold water impact these? I mean, cold weather impact these sightings? I mean, do they get less? I would imagine you don't look out as much.
I watch them. I watch constantly. I spend.
Well, what do you think's going on down there?
I really am not too sure. I think what it is this is a nice secluded spot. From what my wife's mother is remarried, and her stepdad is dying of cancer, and he's been very, very sick. And at one point he was in bed, you know, with chemo, and they thought he was going to die. Reese, you know, and her mother said, you know, that what was going on up here, and he said, "Oh, they're nephews."
Mm-hmm. Have you seen they? We talk about it. The entities.
Yes, I have. One, I think there's multiple things that are here. It's not just one thing. At one point, these things. I live in a pine plantation, and they would camouflage themselves as a ball of pine boas. Believe it or not, and they would actually.
Yeah, small balls.
A pretty large ball of pine boas. Uh-huh. And it would actually move through the treetops, and observed me. It was watching me. And when I finally got a good look at it, I sat and studied this ball of pine balls one day real close, and you could see it. I said, "Man, I see eyes in there." What looked to me like eyes. And I said, "Man, hey, give me the video camera. I'm shooting video," and I'm like, I could see the little guy. There's I see him in there. And then I looked and I said, "Well, shit, there's more eyes."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, "There's a whole slew of them in there." Well, then when I played the video back, what it looks like is a Procosimus, an algae-eating fish in a fish tank. And what I thought were eyes, I don't think are eyes. It looks like, in this video, it looks like mucus-filled gill slits that are flopping around.
Wow.
Yeah.
So has anything like this entered your house?
Yes, it has. Well, not maybe this thing in particular.
Yeah.
This fish-looking thing. But we've had balls, orbs of light in the house. I felt electricity all over me, static.
So has anything like this entered your house?
Yes, it has. Well, not maybe this thing in particular. You know, this fish-looking thing, but we've had balls, orbs. orbs of light in the house. I felt electricity all over me, static.
Do they come through the door or through the wall?
I've seen what looks like a ring, a spinning ring of white light. It's like if you took one LED and spun it in a circle, like say you take a sparkler, uh-huh. put a little bend in it and swing it around, and it leaves a trail of light. That's what this thing is. It's like one
light on
up right through the shingled roof and illuminates on the inside of the tunnel groove wood inside of it.
Has there been an effort for contact? In other words, have they tried to say something to you or communicate or vice versa?
I think they're, we've had a lot of strange coincidence type things that my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, would tell us. And there's, it's like, where did she come up with that? You know, things like blue dolphins in the ocean and don't pollute the oceans and all this.
So she's getting environmental messages.
I think they're here doing environmental.
Well, what about Wisconsin? Normally, I've always thought, you could straighten me out, is fairly environmentally correct.
Well,
is it?
Yes, and yeah, I guess. People here are very environmentally, people love their country, you know, I mean, it's...
So, I mean, they're not there on a mission to straighten you guys out in that area, I don't guess.
Well, you know, there's good and bad everywhere.
Yeah.
I think what it is this is a nice secluded spot, very few people here, and I think it's, you know, and we're just right outside the Twin City area.
I notice you're over on the you're on the Wisconsin side, but you're not far from Minnesota.
No, I'm not. About 35 miles.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they have a tendency to hang where there's fresh water, nice supply of fresh water, a high abundance of quartz.
Yeah, we've noticed the quartz connection.
And I have actually right on my property here, I have a gravel pit that the top 3 to 4 feet of the soil here is just loaded with quartz.
Uh-huh.
And right across the road here, there's a trout stream running down through the valley. Like I said, it's beautiful here.
How about other people in the town? Can you pick up something that are they being terrorized or visited?
Yeah, I talked to one fella. Just kind of, it really took me off guard. I was at this particular place. I can't really say where, but I was at this place, and the guy was next to me on a forklift, and I'm walking along, and he says, how far are you going with this load? And I said, oh, just about a mile and a half, something like that. And he said, oh, well, we're at. And I told him, the little log house on the hill, and he said, oh, yeah, he knew right where it was. He said, yeah, that'll be a nice little place once you get her done. And I said, yeah, if the aliens and UFOs and things leave me alone. And I looked, you know, and he was kind of chuckling and, you know, looking straight ahead. And I said, I know, you think I'm crazy. And he said, no, I didn't say that. And we go a little bit further, and he says, have they taken you yet? And I said, I said, what, now you're mocking me? He said, no, I didn't say that. He said, have they taken you? I said, as a matter of fact, yes, they have. And he said, did they put anything in you? And I just stopped dead in my tracks. And I said, yeah, I think they have. And he says, yeah, they did me too. He says, right here, right behind my jawbone. He says, I got something in there, and my dentist found it. And I said, well, did you have it taken out? He said, nah, they'll just put another one in
there. So even the dentist is probably aware.
Well, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, he told me his little story, and, you know, he was out with the boys at the bar and had a couple of beers. He said, I wasn't, you know, pass out type drunk or nothing like that. Came home, had to relieve himself. He got to his property, pulled off in the field that he owns. He said, come to in the morning or during the day. And his truck was sitting a ways away from him. The door of the truck was open. It was out of gas. The battery was dead. So he finally gets that back up to the house. He's wondering, whoa, I must have had a few too many, you know. So he runs into the neighbor a couple hours later, and his neighbor says, hey, what was your truck sitting in the field for 3 days for? He says, what? 3 days? He thought the neighbor was messing with him, so he went to bed that night, goes into work. His boss says, where have you been for the past 3 days?
Hmm.
And he says, well, the best thing I can tell you is I was taken away by aliens. And he says, well, you better tell the boys here something else other than that.
Yeah, in other words...
Well, yeah, he didn't fire him. You know?
No, and what about your experience?
Well,
You feel like talking about that?
All I know is what I will say is they've given me the ability to see things that other people don't.
By that you mean perception or literally?
Literally. They've given me the ability to see things that other people don't see.
You mean like Superman, X-ray vision?
I've got some type of an enhanced vision.
You mean you can see through a wall or something?
No, it isn't to that point.
See the studs?
I see blue beams of light. Red, and green is more intense. And what I was told is that is because I'm seeing the full spectrum of the light in an enhanced way. It's on the order of infrared.
Mm-hmm.
I told somebody about it one day, and there's this good-looking girl standing there, and he says, "Well, you mean you can see through clothes?" And I looked at this girl, and I said, "Well, no, not yet."
Yeah, but you're looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'll let you know. He said, "Well, what do you get? Can you get me some of that?"
Yeah. It's the only thing you've noticed that's different?
Well, my wife has something, too, that they've given her.
Is she going to tell me about
it? I'll let you talk to her.
Okay.
Come
on. Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's always good to talk to you. And Sean, too, of course.
Uh-huh.
But first of all, I was talking to Sean about contact experiences,
mm-hmm.
and you've had some. I want to find out a little bit about them.
One thing I don't think Sean shared with you, at least today, is I think our first contact experience was actually when we lived in Isandy, Minnesota.
Before you got there to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Do you think there was a connection on why you moved to Wisconsin?
You know, we believed that we were meant to buy this house. We had purchase agreements on four other houses, and, you know, you get your mind set on that this is a permanent thing and you're moving, and all four houses didn't work out. And I've got an instinct that every time we've moved, you look at houses, you look at apartments, and you walk in and you know it's for you or you know it's not for you. Every place I ever looked at didn't feel quite right, but at that point, living with his mother, we were desperate to get out on our own. And we walked into this log cabin just by a fluke. We had a purchase agreement on another house, but I saw this ad in the paper for this log home for sale by owner, and I said, let's just go look at it just for the heck of it. I never imagined I could own a log home because they're usually way expensive, and I walked in the door, and you know what? I got this feeling come over me that I knew this was my house. And the other two homes that we owned, it was the same thing. I just knew, and I just left it in the Lord's hands after that, and I knew that, you know, all would work out. I do believe that we were brought here for a reason. I don't know what that reason is, and I don't know by whom. I'm a Christian, and to be honest, all of this just totally rocked my whole world.
I understand, actually, you had an encounter that you saw Jesus outside? Is that right?
Yes, in the tree. That was probably one of the most unreal experiences of my entire life. My biggest part in this, you know, it personally was my religious issues, because
yes,
it made me really question what is real and what is what, and is there a God, you know, and if there is, who is he? And when I would try to talk to these things, hoping they could hear me.
You'd literally go outside and talk to them?
I figured if they're here and present, whether I could see them or not, they obviously see us, hear us, understand us, you know. I hope to God they can't read my mind, but some say that they believe they can. I'm prone to think that they can't, but
my own personal opinion about that is that I think if you are sending them a message, if you're thinking positive, they can read it. Otherwise, maybe not.
If you really want them to, that they probably can.
I think a human being, for whatever reason, does have the ability. I don't want to sound like the shadow of old time radio, but to cloud men's minds. In other words, I think that you can prevent them from getting your deepest secrets.
I believe that too, and to be honest, ever since we started experiencing this, the three of us, my husband and I and our daughter Allie, have all grown.
Well, so you're looking at this as a positive thing. In other words, you're...
Yes. Yeah.
But at first, you didn't know how to deal with it.
No, and when you don't know about something, your first instinct as a mom and wife, and I think as a husband and a father, is to be terrified and assume the worst. Protect your family. I guess I'm not sure if I'm supposed to share this, but I'm going to anyway. When Sean was beamed with that light, I believe he talked to you about that earlier.
Yeah, we haven't discussed it on the air, but go ahead.
Okay, when he was standing in the front yard, I think it was the second night that we really saw this stuff. It was 1:30 in the morning, and...
Well, we did talk a little bit about it, but I mean...
Right, we were out in the yard videotaping it, and he was beamed with the light, and we came tearing in the house. Well, a few weeks later, we were working on, again, on the house. We tore off part of a deck and rebuilt it, and he's absolutely terrified of bees. And we had horrendous problems with bees this summer with wasps. And so anytime he sees them, and we had them swarming, he would tear off running and screaming like a girl. Yeah, they attack him. And he went running off the deck one day and jumped off the deck, which is fairly high off the ground, especially for a man of 43 years old who's not in the best of health. And he realized he had no pain. And I guess to go backwards a little bit, he has a disease called acute transverse myelitis. And it's from a spinal cord injury. And 2 years ago, he was supposed to have spinal fusion on his neck. And this injury is pretty much ongoing, and it continues to cause damage until he was supposed to have, I mean, past the time throughout the last few years that he was supposed to have surgery. And he had no pain. And to be honest, last summer and last year at this time, we were preparing for Sean to be in a wheelchair someday. We believed this is a disease that's very similar to MS and often turns into MS. In fact, he was diagnosed with with MS at the beginning of his diagnosis. So it's one of those diseases that you lose the ability to walk, you lose the senses in your hands, and you have nerve pain. Untreatable pretty much with any kind of medication. I know from experience, because I had spinal fusion 2 years ago, and I know what nerve pain is. He was living on painkillers, and we were going to build our home prior to buying this. We were going to build a house across the road from his mom, but found that wasn't a good idea after spending the winter with her. We were going to build it handicapped because we believed he'd be in a wheelchair. He's healed. He hasn't been to the doctor, and he does still have some sensations like he did before, but he doesn't have the pain in his hands and feet that he did before. He can do things that he hasn't been able to do for years.
And this was after being zapped.
This was after being zapped. And I don't think either, obviously we didn't realize it until he went out one day and did something that would normally have caused him extreme. When he hit the ground, like Sean said, he was in midair. When he hit the ground, his first instinct was, oh God, this is going to hurt.
Uh-huh. And it didn't.
And it didn't. He's like, oh my God. And then as he stood there, it's like this revelation came to him that, oh my God, I haven't felt this good since I was 19 years old. And he's 43 years old. I swear to God, the crow's feet in his eyes were going away. He lost 30 pounds within like 2.5 weeks.
So basically, there's been a lot of good things happening to him.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I want to go back to your contact with the entity you believe was Jesus, or at least an image of Jesus.
So I was standing out in the yard, and I probably did this on several occasions, probably more than I realized, but in a very heartfelt way, I would stand there and say, if I could ask one question, just one question, I just need to know, is there a God? And I never got an answer. And at this point, this particular day, I was pleading. I was in tears. I was crying. And I sat out in the backyard all by myself on the four-wheeler and was really soul-searching, because at this point, being brought up a Christian, actually I was brought up in a Pentecostal religion, that's my whole world, you know, is my religion. I all of a sudden saw in the tree a face, and the face looked like Jesus. In the leaves, it's like between the leaves and the branches and the bark of the tree.
Was the size of the face a normal size of a face?
I would say it was a ways away, probably half of a football field away.
Uh-huh.
And I would say it was larger because I saw it plain as day, and if it was the size of a regular face, it would have been a little harder to see.
Yes.
So no, I would say it was, I'm really horrible at judging distance and things like that, but I would say it was much larger than the average person. Amazing. Yeah, he heard me scream, and I said, come here, come here, come here, and he came over, and I was showing him, and it was, you didn't see it at all, son? He said it was gone. But on another incident, I'm sorry, it was the same day, I was still standing there, and I said, but look at the face there, and there was another face in the tree, and it had a beard, not a beard, it had a mustache, and it looked like dark. You could see the face and the features very well. And I said, look, and he looked, and he said, oh my God, and I said, what? And he said, that's me. And, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, oh my God, it does look like him. We were kind of freaking out at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess we started to learn to talk to these things because out of desperation and desire to understand. And I said, you know, if this is you doing it, I thought, okay, it could be a coincidence. Make it go away. And it's like this wind kind of came up, and it rustled the leaves, and it was gone. And then it came back. And then it was right there, back again. So, so I said, do it again. And sure enough, I know it sounds unreal, but it did. It did it again. And I think, I believe it's because, you know, I think the human brain so often wants to just say, no, this isn't real. And for months, I would even say, please, somebody come up with a logical explanation for this stuff, because I'd be happy to listen. And there isn't one.
So, really, the long and short of it is that you still are a Christian,
mm-hmm.
still believe in God.
Yep.
This series of events actually has had some good. Sean's healed. Are you still afraid?
Yes, I think to some extent.
Do you sense this fear because perhaps there's two forces there, good and evil?
And I think when you don't understand something to a large extent, which I don't think we do.
Were all these incidents at night?
At first, the only thing that we ever noticed really was at night. Because during the day, we weren't looking. But, you know, more and more we started realizing mm-hmm. it was day and night, day and night.
And did it slow down for the winter?
No. No.
So the weather really has nothing to do with it, other than maybe you're outside to see it more often.
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, when it's 13 below, I'm not outside.
I can understand that.
I think the one thing that's really prevalent is when we first started coming up to Wisconsin 5 years ago, one of the things we absolutely loved, and we are sky watchers and always have been, we love to watch the stars, and the stars out here in this dark pitch night is just awesome. And, you know, ever since this started, we have not seen but one awesome sky. You can look out right now and see maybe 40 points of light.
And it used to be just
millions,
covered.
Yeah. I mean, millions of stars to the point where it was just...
Well, I mean, is there a dome or something over you?
I believe so, yeah. You know what, we had one normal night, and that's when the researcher from MUFON came.
So they took the dome away when the...
And he did say he never sees anything. It's like they know him. I swear they know him personally. On a personal level, they know he's a smart guy, and they don't mess around with him.
I'm going to talk to Sean again here in a minute, but I want to ask you one final thing. From a religious standpoint, spiritual standpoint, how do you account for all this? I mean, how are you dealing with it? Has it shaken some of your basic, the Pentecostal belief is fairly strict.
I have changed a lot of feelings and thoughts and beliefs since all this began. And I think one thing is that humans have made up the basic religion. And that maybe things aren't always what humans think, including God. But I do believe there is a God.
Yeah, it seems to me that people who experience things like you and Sean and your daughter And the old term of agape love and a better world seems to come through.
Well, I know Sean was sharing a little bit of Allie with you, and she's a gifted student. She's got the brain way beyond her years. And I'd like to share just a real quick story before I pass Sean back to you. But she started building a fort this summer. And this is where we got really concerned, because after building this fort, I took a couple pictures. And she was with me. We were on the four-wheeler. We stopped. I took three photographs in a row. And in these photographs, something moved into the second and third frame of these pictures. And I can't tell what they are, but it spooked the crap out of me. And then a couple weeks after that, actually it wasn't that terribly long ago, she had wrote up these little things. She was going to have this club, and like these scrolls, and she had them all tied up neatly. And I opened them, and I thought I should put these in her scrapbook. And in these scrolls had stuff, and this is prior to the UFO stuff starting, that she wrote these. It talked about to initiate her little friends into her club, one had to write a essay on extraterrestrials and UFOs. And then another one was paint a beautiful sky on the side of the clubhouse with dolphins, and don't pollute the ocean, and don't pollute the world. And I kept these things, actually, in a midnight sky with beautiful stars and things like this. And it kind of freaked us out, because I thought, oh my God, the time that she spent down at her little fort.
Well, could you tell what those things were in the frames? Were they missed? Or,
see, that's the funny thing. When these things tend to be really present, there's like an energy that distorts my pictures. And it's a digital camera. And I can take pictures, you know, I can turn around and take a picture, 10 feet away, and it'll come out clear. But if I go to this certain area, it's blurry. And those pictures didn't tend to come out real clear. Object that moves into the frame, and it's obvious there's something there, it's just you can't tell what it is. And well, I was standing there and could see the fort as clear as day, and Allie and I both did not see anything moving around there. So we didn't see it with our naked eye, and we should have, but it was in the picture.
Let me ask you one other thing, and then I'll let you go. Do you have any marks or things about your body?
Yes, I do. To be honest, I don't know how long ago it was now. Sean can probably tell you better. But one day, I happened to notice something on my leg, on my upper thigh, and what it looked like, and I had no pain, so I just happened to notice by sight, not by pain, but it was the size of a tennis ball. On the center part looked like, you know how it turns white if you get stung by a bee? It was the size of a dime, and it was white like that and raised in the center, and there was a hole, quite a large hole, in the very center. But then on the outside of that, like I said, the size of a tennis ball was just black, purple, black and blue, like someone hit me really hard. And there was no pain, but I could tell there was something in the middle of this big hole. So I took a tweezers and tried to pull it out.
Yes, Sean told me about that. He came down the stairs, and there you were trying to pull this thing out.
And it seemed very solid, and when you would pull on it, and I would finally give, it wouldn't come out. And I'd finally lose it with the tweezers. It would go tink, tink.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I don't know what it is to this day, and I tried like crazy to get it out, let me tell you, and I couldn't.
Do you still have that scar on your leg?
Yes.
It's not that big.
No, and it has healed up. And I do have, you know, photographs and documentation of it, just because. With everything so weird, I figured it was a good idea.
Well, I appreciate you taking time to talk to me. Our time's getting away from us on the program here, so let me talk to Sean a little bit more. You've been very candid. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay.
Sean, what about, do you think you guys have been abducted?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I definitely
have. That's the impression I got. I didn't mention it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, it's like a sense that something's happened. And I keep going back to the night when the orange ball of stuff was over the pond, you know, and the flashing light and what have you. I think that was the night. because she keeps saying we were in the yard. I thought we were on the deck.
So both of you have different memories.
Yep, I swear we were on the deck. She says we were out in the yard.
Anything happening that's... It seems to me that you've calmed down somewhat, and the fear is being replaced by a little good, a little bad. In other words, it may not all be...
Well, I'm still, let's put this, I'm still a little leery, a little on guard. but I've come to the realization that what am I going to do? And what am I going to do about... If they want to take me, they're going to do it.
You've not had any night terrors or anything?
No, not really. I'm pretty exhausted when I finally go to sleep.
Yeah.
I usually don't go to bed till about 4 or 5 in the morning. And I'm usually up, you know, by 10, 11 o'clock, something like that. So, needless to say, my business is kind of, we own our own business, and it's kind of suffering a little bit because of all this. This is a pretty slow time of the year for us, but we remodel back.
Yeah, and literally in Wisconsin, when they said chill out, this time of year you do
it. You talk to people around here and they say, well, in the wintertime, there's fishing, beer drinking, and sitting by the wood stove.
Right. Survival is the key word.
You go into survival mode. So, but there was actually one day, from about, we started seeing it about noon, didn't we? Something like that. I happened to see something like a shiny object in the sky go by, and it was, kind of almost level with the deck or the windows of our home, but we were outside, and it went by like a streak. And I was like, wow, what the heck was that? You know, so I grabbed the binoculars. It looked like it went past, and then it kind of went, it did a swoop up high into the sky, and it looked like it kind of stopped up in there, and then it did a like a banking turn, like an airplane would, and then it kind of hung there for a minute, and then it like if you were on a swing, you know, it did like an arc up, sat there for a second, and then it came back again. When it went by in front of the house again, it was just like a streak; you could hardly see it. Well, I grabbed, and then when it went by and did the arc up again, it went up and into the sun. I was like, I've never seen this program. It was like sightings or something like this about this guy that said he used his video camera and did like a chronograph and blocked out the sun and watched the corona. And he said he was getting video footage of UFOs. I'm thinking, I wonder if this guy is off his rocker. Hey, so I got the binoculars and I stood up. We had an awning, because I had my table saw and stuff like that out on the porch. And I used the awning to block the sun, and I looked at the corona, and sure as heck, you could see these metallic things flying around up there, like discs. And they go by in front of the house, level with the house, over the highway, and I bet they 1,000 miles an hour. And they go by so fast that you couldn't turn your head fast enough, you'd break your neck. But you could see when they did their arc up and do the banking turn, it's like they kind of hung there for a minute, and then they come back down again. So we sat and watched these things for probably 6 hours, something like that. Well, in this time, my wife went into town, went to this antique store, and I have a lot of this 11-11 stuff going on, the awakening, synchronicity, and I've had that going on all my life. I weighed 7'7" and was born at 11-11.
When it gets to 11 past 11, you notice.
Yeah, and I always saw 11-11 on the clock. And I'd see it in the morning, I'd see it at night, for all the time. We've been together for 20 years, and actually 25 years, and she's laughed about it since day one. Yeah, 11-11. Yeah, I say, yeah.
You ever shoot craps?
That's actually when I was... here's another point. When I was born, the nurses in the hospital called me the craps baby.
7-11.
And I had swollen eyes, and they called me Slugger. You know, so... Anyhow, my daughters are 11 days short of being 11 years apart. This year, one turned 11, the other one turned 22. It's just freaky stuff. Anyway, she went into this antique store. She came back with this agate that was turned into a sphere that actually looks like this moon that bothers us. There's a thing that pretends it's the moon, and it comes up in the tree, and comes up in the tree line over here over that pond, and it was at 5 rows away in this pine plantation, 5 rows of trees between me and this pond. And it would come up in the treetops and move the trees and hang there and play cat and mouse with me.
It'd go away?
If I was videoing it or shooting pictures of it.
Oh, so you couldn't focus in?
Well, it would move to the right or move to the left, or so I couldn't get it. And then it would actually shoot like a blue beam, it would project a blue light at me and block the camera. It would actually beam that right into the camera, and the camera would turn white inside, when you look in the viewfinder or on the LCD.
Yeah, everything's washed out.
Yeah, so you'd have to turn the camera off, leave it sit for about a half an hour, turn it back on, then it would work again. And it wrecked my wife's camera. But anyway, she went in and got this agate, and she came home with Whitley Strieber's book, Confirmation. And I'm like, holy cow, you guys are freaking me out, her and my daughter. Well, the people at the antique store ended up coming out here, this young lady and her boyfriend. And they wanted to, on the pretense of looking at my agate collection. And when he came in the driveway, he got out of his truck and I handed him the binoculars. And I said, hey, look up towards, not right at the sun, but right at the edge there, and tell me what you see up there. And I walked away. And he's like, oh man. He says, what are those things? I grabbed the binoculars. I said, I don't know. What do you think they are? He says, I don't know. But man, that is weird. What are those? It looked like flying saucers. And I said, yeah, that's what I thought. And I walked away.
Hmm.
So, where's an eyewitness right there that saw it?
Right.
So I called my mom that day, and I said, Mom, I'm a nut. She keeps calling me out, you're nuts. So I call her up, and I said, the same thing. Block off the sun, look at the edge, tell me what you, I'll call you tomorrow. I call her the next day, I said, so what'd you see? She said, what were those things? I said, I don't know. I thought maybe you could explain it to me. I'm a little nuts. She said, I don't know, but I saw at times. I saw three at a time, three, four at a time. I said, yeah, I thought so.
The people in the town and the community there, the ones that you suspect have had the incidents or maybe have been taken, do you feel any special kinship to them?
The guy that I said on the forklift?
Yes.
Yes. That guy seems like somebody I know. Rob Krakowski, for an example. Didn't know this guy from nobody. And I still haven't ever met the fella. I got his picture under the glass on my desk. So he's sitting here right now staring at me. And he calls me my friend when he's done on instant messaging or whatever. He says, my friend Sean, we feel like family. He wants me to actually, I've been talking about that maybe I should move.
Yeah, Rob told Larry Dickin, our producer, that he was going to get you out there.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
I know. I told him. He lives down there, and I said, living in that area, I said, you got to know how to drink some tequila. I said, so we'll get a designated driver. We're going to go out and see some sights and drink tequila. So my wife had a dream about Rob that she knew what his house looked like, and so she described his house. He sent over an email of his house done up for Halloween haunted video thing, and it's the one she saw in her dream. Another instance I had was John Tosti. I was told by people to get a hold of John Tosti over and over. Brian White told me, Sam told me. Finally, I called this guy, and he's waiting for my phone call. His wife answers the phone, and she says, oh, I'll be right back. He's waiting for talk to you. So, what is this all about? So he gets on the phone, and this guy seems like somebody I've known for 20 years. Never met the fella. And we start, going back and forth over our stories, and at one point he says that the stuff kind of freaks you out so bad it kind of stops you from getting things done or doing the things you should do. And I said, yeah, I bought this log home that wasn't finished. And he says, hold on right there. He said, log home? He said, no, bear with me a second. He says, is your log home on a hill, on the side of a hill? And I said, yeah, it is. He said, are you in the pine trees? Or like in a notch in the pines? And I said, yeah, I'm in a pine plantation. I said, that's what they did. They cut a few trees on the edge of it out. They stuck the house in there. He said, is it up on, like, legs? I said, yeah, we're up on 6x6 pillars. Do the steps to your home go off to one side of the house instead of up the front? I said, yeah, I'm putting the steps on right now. I'm trying to get those built. He says, are you a short guy, dark hair with a mustache? And I'll tell you what, Jerry, I broke into tears. I said, how in the hell do you know that? He starts telling me, he says, 7 years ago, I videotaped something, shot across in his camera view, video, and he said, I never had any way to process it. He said, and just recently, he got a program in his computer, and a computer and all this, and he was messing with it. Sketched together three frames, he says, has a view in one window of some aliens, or what he perceives as aliens, and another window on this craft. He says, every time he views it or some type of thing, it shows him another picture. The view in that window changes or something. And he says, I've seen my grandfather. He says, he's seen this and seen that. And he says, at this one point, he saw a fellow standing out in front of a log home in the pines. And he says, it's you. I've only lived here 5 months, 6 months. This house wasn't even here 7 years ago. This house is only 3 years old.
I have a term, and it's not disrespectful. Please don't think it is. For experiencers like you and Rob and this fellow you're just talking about, you kind of become part of the brethren.
Oh, yeah. I said to Rob, it's funny you use that term. I told Rob, I said, like it or not, you have another brother.
Yes.
Sam Leonto and I feel like we're brothers. He feels more like I'm his brother than anything. And
uh-huh.
I mean, I went down and saw Sam in Chicago, and I mean, I got out of the car. I was delivered there by another fella. I got out of the car, and he came over and gave me a hug. He says, hey, I'm Italian. I can hug you.
Well, yeah, I spent many years in Las Vegas, so I know about Italians hugging people. So that's the highest compliment you can have.
Sure, and that's I told Sam about.
I'm not one of these guys that's convinced that all this is good, but at the same time, I get that you're not in any danger.
I don't think so either.
With that thought, Sean, I'm going to let you go. And we'll be checking back with you in a couple of months, see how things are doing.
We're here to save the world. That's my feeling. That's what we're all coming up with. That's my wife and I have been saying from the very beginning. Because these things are here to help us.